Guys, let's talk about sex. Remember the days you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable alternative to Viagra and Cialis with the same FDA-approved active ingredients, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no more in-person doctor's visits, no more waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay the $5 shipping. Again, that's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com, promo code MLB to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast.
You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And to get this show every day, I need you to subscribe to Locked On Mets, wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, Himalaya. Also, don't forget when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Now, I am so excited about today's show. This is something I wanted to talk about for a long time. It is my official 2019 hindsight off-season. Basically, over the next 2 days, I'm going to be going back and rewriting history as I reallocate the assets that Brody Van Wagenen spent coming into the 2019 season and spend them in a way that would have made the Mets a much better team, not only in this season, but in the future. So in the first half of the podcast, I'm going to talk about free agency, some of the contracts that should not have been given out, and some of the guys that maybe should have been brought back. Later on in the show, I'm going to talk about Brody Van Wagenen's biggest mistake of the offseason, making that trade with the Seattle Mariners, and give you an alternative trade that could have made things so much better. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, check me out on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizedOnline.com. The postseason is brought to you by Vivid Seats. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live events. Enter the promo code POSTSEASON at checkout and receive a discount of up to $100. All right, the first thing to get into as we talk about this hindsight offseason is the things that actually went well for Brody Van Wagenen. The first one being J.D. Davis coming in with that trade from the Houston Astros, which to a lot of people is still the best thing that Brody Van Wagenen has done since taking over as a general manager. So obviously, you make that trade again because he proved this year to be a great bat for the Mets, not just in 2019, but for the future. Now, Justin Wilson was a good signing as well at 2 years, $10 million. He pitched to a 2.54 ERA in 39 innings pitched. Another quality signing was Luis Avalon. They brought him in a real low-risk move as a minor league free agent. If he made the team out of spring training, he earned $1.6 million. And while his overall numbers might not look as pretty, what he was brought in to do is get left-handed batters out. So it is not necessarily Avalon or Brody Van Wagenen's fault that Mickey Callaway tried to use him in a more expanded role to results that weren't as promising. But against left-handed batters, Avalon had a 2.30 ERA and held them to a 102 batting average. That is a good loogie. Now let's get into some of the moves that weren't as good. The first being Wilmer Flores being cut. I think the Mets should have kept Wilmer Flores. Instead, they chose to let him go. He went to the Diamondbacks, had a pretty solid year. They did, however, spend money to keep Travis d'Arnaud. They spent $3.5 million, and then eventually, within a month of the season, DFA'd him. Now, I know some people will play the hindsight game and say, well, if you're going to do this whole thing, just keep d'Arnaud on the roster. He had a great season in Tampa. But to me, this is about making choices that were logical at the time. So keeping d'Arnaud when you were clearly going to go out and get another catcher was just not a wise, you know, use of your resources. Sure, he hit .263 with a .323 on base percentage and a .459 slugging percentage with 16 home runs and 67 RBIs in 92 games with the Tampa Bay Rays. He is currently starting in the playoffs, but he would not have fit with this Mets team, and I don't even think he would have had that level of success in a Mets uniform. So instead of spending that $3.5 million, the Mets could have brought Wilmer Flores back. He made $3.4 million in 2018. If he went through arbitration, he likely would have made somewhere near $5 million. He ultimately signed for just under $4 million for the 2019 season, but going through arbitration, he probably would have made a little more at the Mets. So those two contracts almost wash each other out, and Flores would have made a lot of sense to shore up the infield depth as opposed to going out and signing someone like Jed Lowry or trading for Robinson Cano. Now, when it comes to Lowry, that was a move that never made sense, and it even made less sense when he was hurt all year. But if the Mets knew they had J.D. Davis, someone they really liked coming through a trade, had Wilmer Flores and Todd Frazier, and had faith that Jeff McNeil was going to continue to produce at an elite level, there would have been no need to sign Jed Lowry, especially when you had depth pieces like Luis Guillorme in the system, and you knew you can add minor league free agents such as Adani Echevarria, Danny Espinosa, Dilson Herrera, guys that don't cost anything to sit in your minor league system and potentially be called on if the injuries really mount. So that was $10 million of wasted money on the 2019 payroll in signing Jed Lowry. Now the other obvious signing you would take back is Jerry's Familia with his 3-year $30 million contract. Familia pitched to a 5.70 ERA and 60 innings pitched and really blew a lot of games that the Mets needed to have. What's crazy to me about this deal is that it was backloaded. So he's going to be getting more money after performing so poorly in 2019 over the next 2 years. Ironically enough, in 2019, and you can't make this stuff up, folks, he made $6,666,666. Ever heard of Tresis? Because that is the devil's number, and boy, did Familia really rot the Mets season. So with all that being said, what you're left with is by not signing Lowry and Familia, cutting d'Arnaud instead of Flores, and still signing Avalon and Wilson, Brody Van Wagenen's free agent budget would be $18.5 million richer. So that's more money that we can spend, and that's going to be something I'm going to do on tomorrow's podcast. When we come back, though, I'm going to talk about the big trade that really derailed the Mets season, and that was the move to acquire Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz from the Seattle Mariners. Whether you're catching a game, a concert, or a show, Vivid Seats is the online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via their Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Vivid Seats helps fans find seats to any of their favorite live events, including sports, concerts, theater, and more, all through the Vivid Seats app. Vivid Seats offers great prices and an easy purchasing experience, as well as the in-app loyalty program, Vivid Seats Rewards. Here's how simple this is. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are then automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program and will enjoy credit on all of their purchases as part of Vivid Seats Rewards. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by a 100% guarantee. Have you ever been craving a nice bottle of red wine but had no way to get it? Have you ever woken up in the morning wanting a breakfast burrito, but you have to get ready for work and you don't have time to pick one up? Well, now there's a solution. Just Postmate it. Postmates is your personal delivery service for food, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery you need all year round. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers that you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. Postmates deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free, and then begin to browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. Again, that's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, Mets fans, now let's get into the trade that you all hate to look back on. The trade that sent Jared Kelenic and Justin Dunn to the Seattle Mariners for Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz. Now, for me, when I look at this whole exercise, it was trying to reshuffle the Mets' priorities coming into the offseason to get a better solution. The Mets came into the 2019 offseason with three obvious holes to fill: bullpen, catcher, and then a depth of position players. Really, they needed a center fielder, which is not something they addressed, other than the Keon Broxton trade, which did not work out. I think instead of prioritizing the bullpen first by trading for Edwin Diaz, the catcher should have been the biggest priority. If you are going to trade prospects like Jared Kelenic and Justin Dunn, you better get a more surefire player than a relief arm, because we've seen over the years relievers are volatile. There's some years where they're great and they can fall off in a hurry. So to invest that much equity in Edwin Diaz, despite how great he was in 2018, and boy, could we have never predicted what would have happened in 2019, going for a player that was more of a sure thing would have been a better call. And to me, that player was JT Realmuto. Brody Van Wagenen was dying to trade for Realmuto, ready to give up players like Michael Conforto, Brandon Nimmo, and Ahmed Rosario just to get him on the Mets. He never was able to get a deal because the Marlins wanted prospects and the Mets just didn't have the capital to get it done. But if they had prioritized Realmuto first and traded the Kelenic Dunn package to acquire him, the Marlins likely would have taken that deal. What they ultimately received from the Phillies when they gave up Realmuto was pitching prospects Sixto Sanchez, Jorge Alfaro, the catcher, and Will Stewart. Now, Sanchez came into 2019 as the highest ranked prospect of the bunch. He was higher ranked than Kelenic coming in. Some had him ranked at 13, others had him ranked up to 27 as one of the best prospects in baseball. For comparison, when you talk about pitching prospects, Justin Dunn came in ranked as the 91 prospect based on Major League Baseball's projections, and he didn't rank in the top 100 from any other site. So that kind of shows you that Sixto Sanchez was a huge step up when it comes to pitching prospects compared to Justin Dunn. But Jorge Alfaro was an established catcher when the Marlins traded for him. He was going to replace Realmuto, and he did, to some pretty good success. But in 2018, playing over 100 games with the Phillies, he had a 731 OPS. So that's not a player with the highest of ceilings. It's a good player, but it's not a great player. Now, Will Stewart was coming off a really solid season as a starting pitcher for the Marlins, but he was a 20th round draft pick, not a top prospect by any means. And when I looked up his stats in 2019, I think he ended up pitching to over a 5 ERA. So that was the package the Marlins got. Jared Kelenic, to me, has the highest upside of any of those players mentioned. And I would think that there's people in the Marlins organization who would have felt the same. Not to mention, we're talking about a negotiation process that would have taken place months before the Phillies package was on the table, so it wouldn't be an apples-to-apples conversation. I think the Marlins would have been blown away about the prospect of getting Kelenic and Justin Dunn. And if they needed some extra prospects to make that deal happen, since we're doing the hindsight offseason, let's not make that Keon Broxton trade that sent Bobby Wall, Adam Hill, two pitching prospects, and Felix Valerio, an infielder, for a player the Mets would DFA a month into the season. Let's maybe send a combination of those players along with Kelenic and Dunn to get a deal done with the Marlins. Now, what does that get the Mets in 2019? Offensively, you might compare the two guys, Real Muto and the free agent acquisition the Mets made, Wilson Ramos, and say their numbers are somewhat comparable. Real Muto hit .275 with a .328 on-base percentage and a .493 slugging percentage. Ramos hit .288 with a .351 on-base percentage, but a slugging percentage of .416. Real Muto hit 11 more home runs. He had 25 as compared to Ramos's 14. He drove in 10 more runs with 83 RBIs compared to Ramos's 73. But the biggest difference comes in their speed, because Real Muto is an above-average runner that stole 9 bases and scored 92 runs, whereas Ramos, who is cement-footed, scored 40 less runs than Real Muto, with only 52 scored on the season. So, offensively, Real Muto is still a better player than Ramos, despite a really good year for Wilson. Now, when you come to the defensive side of the ball, there's no question. JT is one of the best defensive catchers in baseball, and Wilson Ramos had starting pitchers fighting to not have to pitch to him. So if you look at all those things, you would have taken Real Muto away from a division rival, and you would provide the Mets with maybe the best all-around catcher in baseball. Now, the one other ramification of this deal that I'm kind of ignoring here is the fact that Jay Bruce and Anthony Swarzak were included in the deal. The Mets actually save money on this trade, which shows you why Brody made the decision as far as their 2019 payroll. For the limited money he had to spend, Cano was going to make $19 million from the Mets as the Mariners ate some of his $24 million salary, and they took on $14 million of Jay Bruce and $8.5 million of Anthony Swarzak. What I've decided to do for the point of this exercise, which is all hypothetical, is say, you know what? Jay Bruce and Swarzak get traded somewhere else for a bag of baseballs, and we just kind of wipe the salary ramification under the rug. So the only thing I focused on is the difference of money between Ramos and Real Muto. And since Real Muto made $5.9 million and Ramos got paid $7.25 in 2019, that was a difference of $1.35 million that I added to my offseason budget. So with all that being said, my final picture from the first part of this two-part hindsight offseason is this. The Mets end up with Wilmer Flores and JT Realmuto, as opposed to having Jeurys Familia, Jed Lowry, Robinson Cano, Wilson Ramos, and Edwin Diaz. Quantity is not necessarily better than quality, people. Those five players I mentioned, Familia, Lowry, Cano, Ramos, and Diaz, were worth a combined baseball reference war of 1.1 in 2019. Realmuto by himself, not even factoring in what Flores did, was worth a 4.4 war based on baseball references projections. So that equates to 3 wins right there, which is what the Mets missed the playoffs by. Now tomorrow I'm going to talk about the complete picture, as I will spend that $20 million in free agency and build out what the Mets roster would have looked like. Thank you for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to this show wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't forget, when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets.